When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
Bum, 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 bum. Whew, what are you doing?
Chairs. I hate these chairs.
You don't like that chair? What's different with that chair than this chair?
It doesn't, it's got that like metal.
You know, we started this. What? Are you going all the way over there? What are you doing?
I want this one.
Are you serious right now? How are you even going to get that? Let me just describe this for everybody listening. Autumn is now, has now backed herself into a corner because we're in a cubicle size recording room. And she's now backed 3 chairs into a corner only to get the one chair that she wants out. I know what you're going to want. You want me to move this chair down. So you could have that chair, right?
Look at that.
Well, now what are you going to do?
Oh.
Oh. Seriously? This is that important to you?
That chair's so uncomfortable. This one. I'm going to leave it for
for
Nicole.
Andy or Nicole when they come later. All right, girl. For Nicole. Yeah. That's right. I mean, she should be uncomfortable. She's 26 and she's new.
She's young. She can take it. My back can't take that cheap little chair.
I know. At the ripe old age of, what are you now, 34 or 5?
35.
Oof, boy. Yeah, decrepit.
Things hurt.
Yeah. Well, we titled this opener, Random Opener, and boy, have we really been true to that so far. Jeez. It's only me, the Tombster, and Jake so far in the old studio today. We're early, and I had a bunch of random thoughts that I wanted to just throw out there and get off my chest. Dude, so I finally finished this pregnancy book, okay?
Yay!
2 years later. And in this fourth trimester, I did a whole thing about the fourth trimester, and I, you know, not a doctor or a therapist, but I addressed postpartum a little bit. And holy mama, I mean, so basically, you're kind of, I don't know how any woman would escape this. It's got to hit you to varying degrees. It hit Andy. It hit Heidi.
Get it?
And, oh, yeah. It hit Chloe. I think, you know, there are theories that, like, the younger you are, but Heidi had Phoenix when she was 32. I mean, it's just, it's, and the one of the reasons is because your Autumn just dropped the chair to the
floor. I'm so sorry. I was like, maybe she won't notice.
I mean, I'm trying, now Autumn's sitting on the floor. Okay, whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm
good
sorry.
Grief.
I'm ready.
So, I'm not trying to scare anyone. It passes. You know what I mean? And there's a lot you can do to get support and to kind of help get yourself back on track. But one of the reasons is because you have a massive drop in estrogen and progesterone after you have the kid. And you might go, well, I don't give, who cares? Dude, like when I think about my PMS, it is, I can literally tell that it's going to be that time of the month, and I'm sorry for our female listeners, but maybe this will give you some insight into the women in your life, by where my head is at the day before it begins.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, I mean, like, the world is coming to an end, like, it's just dark, it's just brutal, and I'm like, holy crap, and then I'm like, oh, okay. it's that this is what's happening to me, and you know, it's going to be better in a couple of days, and I'm going to level out. And I have to kind of tell myself, like, this is what's going on, you know, this is where your head is at. But it is intense, dude. Yeah. And I just can't even imagine it. And then I started thinking, like, good Lord, like, if this is what happens to me with PMS, what the hell must postpartum be like? It must just be brutal for, like, several. It was, Heidi didn't speak. She was a zombie for at least 6 weeks. A zombie.
Is there anything that you can do as far as...
It's a great question.
Diet?
Doctors,
or
yes.
Like, encourage,
there
you
are.
Know, your hormone balance?
Well, one of the things that I wrote about was, like, trying to get a bunch of phytoestrogens in your diet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's things like sweet potatoes and flax, and I made a whole list. One of the things you can try to do is really try to kind of kick in those phytoestrogens so that you're trying to boost your estrogen naturally.
I hate sweet potatoes. I can just imagine there's a whole scene, bunch like, of stuff. Just crying. It's like, I need all these sweet potatoes. I can't even get it together.
God. There's other stuff on the list. There's other stuff on the list. And it's like, you know, get support and make sure, you know, sleep is also crucial because that'll really put you over the edge. But, yeah. You know, and I wrote all about, like, ways to try to kind of fend it off or mitigate it. But I was like, oh my God. And then I watched for the first time, which you and I started talking about, I was watching, and I'm already a person that can be definitely, you know, pushed into the kind of the dark side of life, right? Like, I'm not a very well defended person. The world upsets me deeply, as you know.
This is true.
Yeah. I'm like, we're not going to go there because it's, you know, not very.
You have made progress, though.
I look, so I'm watching Mr. Robot, which is, Autumn and I have both decided is, like, the best show on TV right now.
I'm obsessed.
On USA. You have to watch it. Jake, have you watched this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, you will love it.
What's it about?
The guy is sort of like Dexter, but he's a hacker, from what I can tell. I'll let Autumn kind of get into it.
Oh, this is a new one.
I'm afraid to say too much about it. It is about a group of hackers and...
But they're like Robin Hoods. They're like Dexter. Well, they go after bad guys, right?
That's what we know so far. What we think we know. Go after the bad guys, the big corporation. You know, the main villain is Evil Corp, which is kind of a cross between Apple and the Bank of America logo.
Mm.
It's just big business,
right?
It's just, the writing is great. Cinematography is beautiful.
It's genius.
It's shot
so
like a movie.
Brilliant.
For TV. It's on USA. And I mean, we're not getting paid for this endorsement. I am obsessed.
Oh my God.
Oh
my God.
Is it Wednesday yet? Because we have it on our TiVo.
The kid who's the lead is like, he's a hacker. And he's like, just, dude, he's just destroyed by what he sees in the world. I've only watched the first one, but he is, the world just kills this guy. It breaks his heart. And he's a genius. And he has this moment in the pilot where he's sitting in his apartment and he has to take drugs to, like, cope with it. But he's so smart. He's figured out, like, how to take drugs in a way where he doesn't get addicted and he doesn't build a... And he has this moment where he's, like, in his apartment crying in the corner. And he's like, I just cannot stand the sadness. And I looked at Heidi and I was like, honey, this is how I feel inside, like, most of the time. She's like, are you this bananas? I'm like, I am. I'm this ill. I'm this crazy. And I mean, like, I'm talking about things. And then I kind of wanted to throw this out there because... I can't help it. I have to take another go at people. And it's like, I know that we have to be in denial about the world in order to function in it. I appreciate that. But that's a really dangerous game to play. It's like, the deeper we go into denial, the worse things are getting around here. And we're talking about, you know, we got to save the freaking planet, man.
Yeah.
We got to save the planet, dude. It's like the greenhouse thing. This is real. Like, what's happening to the environment? It's real. We got to step up, guys. We got to step up. We've got to use less water, less resources, buy hybrids until there's a better technology. Like, we have to step up. We have to step up. And here's what one of the things that has made me the most disturbed, and this is what I want to tackle right now. And I know we weren't necessarily going to go after it, but Donald Trump. Oh. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, whatever, he's bat. Okay, fair enough. But what I am terrified about is that the man is like 30 points ahead in the polls for the GOP. Somebody please. How is this happening? How is it happening?
I can't even wrap my mind around it. I was thinking the same thing over the weekend. And
excuse me.
You know, everyone's sort
you!
Of...
Excuse me. Ooh. I'm done. I'm good.
Bless,
go on.
That's you.
Dude.
You know, and I read like an interesting little post that one of my friends put up, and it's like, you know, everyone's kind of writing it off as a joke. Ha ha ha.
No,
like,
he's ahead 30 points in the polls.
Like, this is a real thing.
This is serious. And he's become my therapist. Actually, I was talking to him about it in my session because I was just like, oh, sorry, my computer, shame on me. And I was like, I am super effed up about this, you know. And of course, it's like a reflection of, you know, my internal reality and all that. But I was like, this is terrifying to me that this man is getting this far. How is this possible? How are we as a society not able to see that he's the court jester?
Yeah.
And the court jester is now running for king. And oh my God, he's winning. And I just, he's a racist. He's anti-woman. He's anti-ethnicity. I am terrified by this man. And the fact that how in the name of God is he getting this far, you guys? Greed, he's like everything awful all wrapped up into one. He's like Gordon Gekko, Greed is Good from the 80s. He's like the selfie narcissist nation from now. He is everything bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, the environment, like the humanity, like equal rights. I just don't understand, you know, and I think people are, he scares me in the way that Hitler scares me. I'm not kidding. And I know
agreed.
You're like, no, you do. Cause I was like, people are going to go out and think I'm crazy.
No,
the way that Hitler was able to brainwash people with the way that he would speak and like tap into some weird part of their psychology. Because that is what he's doing. And my therapist wrote a whole piece on it, an op-ed piece, and I read it, and that's what he's doing. He is tapping in to the unconscious, like the unconscious racist in every one of us, the unconscious like greed in every one of us. Mm-hmm. Oh, a 10% flat tax. And it's like, yes, I don't want to pay. And it's like, that's never going to pass, by the way. If you really think that's going to pass, you're out of your mind. It would never get through Congress. But I think that, like, everyone's like, oh, good, I keep my money. Oh, good, we keep the Mexicans out. I'm like, this is freaking terrifying me.
Yeah.
It's terrifying me. You guys, we have to be better people than this. We have to be better people than this. It will require some sacrifice. You know, whether it is like you... Jesus, I don't know. We have to step up, dude. We've got to evolve faster. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day about, have you ever heard about this, guys? A frog in hot water, where if you, this is a disgusting study. I don't know if it's real, but someone was telling me about it, where if you put a frog in a bowl, a pan of regular temperature water, right? And you very, very slowly heat the water, the frog will never jump out. Because it just kind of doesn't notice until it's dead. It's very slow. And that's kind of like what we are right now with the planet, where we're like, no, no. Oh, come on. Oh, it's years from now. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, New York might not be there in 50 years. They're building a seawall. Like, what I've seen on my beach in 6 years, like, it's happening right now. It's happening, guys. Like, it's all happening. Like, big corporate America, we've got to step up here. We've got to demand that they reform campaign finance, because all these politicians are being bought off. So bad guys are able to do whatever they want. Yeah. I mean, we have to step up. We need to open our eyes. We need to come out of denial. And I don't need everybody to look at the world and get overwhelmed. Pick one thing that you're going to do differently today. A company that you're not going to support. You know, that does bad things. Or you're not going to buy GMO crops because they have the highest level of pesticides and pesticides are polluting the entire planet. Or you're going to reduce your meat consumption. That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one. I mean, I've damn near gone all the way back to vegan again, which is not great for my health. But I'm like, all right, because the meat is so bad for the planet. It's not sustainable. I'm like, okay, you know, one you know, one grass-fed beef a week. And, okay, you know, this is the most ethical seafood, and we've talked about all this before. Pick one thing. I'm asking you just one thing that you can do. Get a hybrid. One thing where you're like, I can manage this, and I'm going to take a step. And mother of God, you know, really look at, like, how is Donald Trump, how is he 30 points ahead in the poll, guys? How is this possible? We got to stop. And if it is really taking a hard look at, like, you know, the parts of us that are racist, and we all have it. It's okay. You know, we all have these things where we're afraid of what's different. Mm-hmm. I get that. I really do. But then we got to look at it, and we got to look at what it's about and where it's coming from. And I had this fight with someone I know who shall remain nameless. It was quite honestly like a friend of a friend, because this person is not a friend of mine. Yeah.
That's a good preface.
No. And it was back when, this year in California, illegals were allowed to get driver's licenses. And I was actually quite happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because, first of all, when they're driving around without a license, they don't have insurance, which right. only hurts everybody here, including the illegals. I'm also a believer that we need to create, I believe in reform, and I believe we need to create a way for people who do not live in America to get into this country if they're hardworking, law-abiding citizens.
I agree.
And this person was like, well, I disagree. And I was like, really? Why is that? Well, what about jobs, you know, for Americans? And I was like, tell me, what is an American? What's an American?
Right. When's the cutoff?
What's an American?
After you got here?
Right. Or your parents, who this person's parents happen to be immigrants.
Right.
From Armenia, I think. I was like, are you Armenian or are you American? What are you? And, you know, this person's not a bad person, but I was like, when? Yeah, after you got here? Because why don't we ask the Native Americans who's an actual American? Because I know my parents were born here, but my grandparents were all immigrants. Every single one. So unless we're all going to go back to our country of native origin, where our ancestors came from, that would make you a hypocrite. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. And I just want to say, like, come on, be human. Be human. Have you been to parts of the third world where people are just trying to provide for their families? Like, this is not, illegal immigrants are not rapists. They're not robbers. We have more of that here with our own Americans. Mm-hmm. And I just think, dude, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, be a human being. Imagine that you and your family are from some part of the world where you couldn't feed your kids, where your children were coming down with cholera. What would you do? Would you do anything you could to give them a better life? Anything you could? And shouldn't we turn around and try to help by saying, okay, you know, if you follow all the laws and you pay into the system with your tax dollars and you're an upright, law-abiding citizen and you can contribute to our culture and our society, I'm sorry, there should be a way in. And I just don't, and the minute you're like, you start to look at these people as though they're less than, well, were your grandparents less than? Because just about everybody here but the Native Americans were immigrants at one time or another. And I just, dude, I'm just asking you, like, whatever part of your heart that's filled with hate, and we all have it, so do I, but, like, take a little piece out today and look at it without shame and see how you can heal it, or why you have this hate and how you can kind of, like, quell it, or what we can do to just one little tiny step to just be a slightly better person. Because I get it. It's hard to look at, and we shut it all out. It's too much. So we just kind of go into denial, and that's how we function. But can you take one little dark crystal out of that box and see if we can bring some light to it? Because if we all do that, it's enough. Boy, this is a...
I love that. I think that's a nice way to think about it.
You do?
I was like, ugh, we're going to have to throw this away.
Oh, no. No, look.
But I just, dude, I mean, come on, guys. We got to step it up, man.
Yeah.
We got to step it up. And I was watching, I know the guy you love, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, I love
Oh, yeah. My God. Another show
so cool.
You must watch. You must watch is the remake of Cosmos. And I know I'm way behind. And I thought, well, I've seen the original with Carl Sagan. I don't need to watch it.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my God. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it's by the guy who did Family Guy. Mm-hmm. And which just goes to show you that when you're brilliant all the way around. And it is so brilliant. And he is kind of talking about how every species has its thing that allowed it to evolve, right? And be successful with regard to survival. And ours is intelligence. And yet we're shutting down our intelligence and we're not seeing the signs. Like, dude, dig out your intelligence. Be brave.
Yeah.
Fight for what's right. And I know we can't change it all. Pick one thing. That's all I'm asking. Watch that show. I mean, and last thought, because I'm going to wrap it up, because we have my mom and coming up in 3 minutes. But a lot of people think that science is contradictory to God. To me, I don't agree at all. It might be contradictory to organized religion. And you know what? Some organized, like, I believe that, you know, obviously there are many different organized religions in the world. Some of them have great things about them. Some of them have some things that are not great about them. Mm-hmm. With that said, I respect everybody's religion. But to me, science, when I want to understand God, like truly understand God, watch the cosmos. Because there is no way I can watch something like that and not believe in God. Because it is that miraculous. It's that miraculous. And I think science can go hand in hand with your religion.
I do too.
I really do.
I don't know why they have to be exclusive of each other.
I don't either. Science to me is proof of God.
Magic.
It's crazy. It is. It's genius. It is pure. I'm watching and I'm like, and Einstein said it best. He's like, if I could understand all the different theories and laws of the universe, I would understand the mind of God. And it is. I mean, I watch it and I'm like, this is wow. I watch it and I'm like, there's a creator. There's no way I would ever doubt it because it's that incredible. Mm-hmm. I was all over the place with this, and we gotta go because we got a guest. So hopefully you haven't switched us off. It's gonna get better. It's gonna get lighter. Okay, people, I'm a convert. Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra is the bomb. There is no cup spillage. There is no cup gaping. There are no slipping straps. It is made from memory foam. It has a tagless foam padded hook and eye. Smoothing microfiber. Why does this matter? Because honestly, it just fits great and you don't get to see it under your shirt, which is really great. It's cool looking. It's got little gold hardware. It's got pleated straps, so it's super feminine. But really, I mean, it just fits fantastically, which is exciting. So here's how this works. They're going to give you a free bra. Check this out. You get to try it for free. You pay $1, have it shipped to you. You wear it for 30 days. You can take the tags off. You can wash the sucker. If you love it, keep it, then they'll charge you. This is a risk-free transaction, people. As I said, if you don't love it, send it back for free. Card won't be charged. If you don't know your size, a friendly online fit specialist will help you find your perfect fit. Go to www.thirdlove.com/Jillian. Get started today. Okay, people, it's Recovery Max time. What is it? It's a cream or spray that's designed to quickly relieve the intense pain of being sore after a workout. Honestly, though, I use it even when I'm not, like, just because my neck bothers me sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm getting old, Autumn. Does your neck bother you? Jake, you're 20. Does your neck bother you sometimes?
Only when I sleep wrong once in a while, like once a year.
Oh, well, guess what? Once a year, you can use Recovery Max. Unfortunately for me, I have to use it more often than that. Okay, all kidding aside, here's what this stuff does. It helps to increase circulation. It reduces lactic acid buildup. It relieves tired and sore muscles. It's all natural. It's got emu oil, it's got arnica, it's got rosemary oil, so it gives you long and lasting relief, but it doesn't leave your skin feeling greasy or gross, and it doesn't leave you smelling like a medicine cabinet. Recovery Max is made for ladies and even gentlemen just like Jake to help you ease through your recovery time, achieve your fitness goals, and quite honestly, just when you're sore, it's awesome. I mean, I use it all the time. So whether it's a cream, whether it's a spray, check it out today at recoverymax.com, or you can just search the keyword Recovery Max on Amazon. All right. We have one of our very favorite guests back today, Dr. Gail Saltz. Dr. Saltz, how are you?
I'm great. It's a lovely time of the year, and, you know, family's doing well, and as you well know, you're only as happy as your least happy child.
I love that.
I've never heard that before, so that's, oh, wow. Okay, yes,
so
thank you.
So everybody's doing well, so I'm so
envious. Oh, my God. So for those of you who missed our previous segments with Dr. Saltz, let me bring you up to date. She's an associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital. Weill Cornell School of Medicine. Did I pronounce that right?
Sure. Yep.
Weill. I did.
Weill.
Thank you.
People say Weill. Yeah.
Best-selling author, a contributor to freaking every talk show under the sun. And also, she's a part of this incredible study right now with Tylenol called How We Family. And Dr. Saltz, will you tell us a little bit about that? And people can check it out at howwefamily.com.
Yeah. In a nutshell, you know, a large survey looking at how people view families today and how many more families today of all different kinds feel themselves to be a traditional family with what they consider to be traditional values, which are, you know, communicating at the top of the list, I love yous at the top of the list, honesty, and teaching acceptance.
Oh, gosh. Well, funny you bring that up. Because maybe we'll have some grist for the HowWeFamily.com study today. Because we did a little poll with our listeners, and a few subjects came back. People having some trouble with sibling rivalry. And I have to admit, myself included. And I mean, when I tell you, I've tried everything. Everything. I've tried everything. I've tried getting in the middle of it. I've tried staying out of it. I've tried, you know, punishing one of them. I've tried punishing both of them. I've tried removing the object. I've even tried, like, literally, I got this suggestion, like, okay, make them work it out, right? But to make them work it out, I might be waiting to get in the car for a half an hour while they fight, and I was told to give them three choices, because if you just give them two, they'll pick... they'll pick opposing choices. And I mean, just so, like, in my car, I have these rear facing 4-point harnesses, so they don't have separate seats. And the fight, just to get in the car, it's the same seat every time. Just to get in the car, a half an hour. And the choices have become the following. She sits there on the way there. You sit there on the way back. He sits there on the way there. You sit there on the way back. Or I'll kill both of you. Which choice do you want to make? Like, we're beside ourselves. Every freaking interaction has become a nightmare. What is this?
You know what it is?
No!
Partially, it's really normal. Just so
God,
you know that.
This can't
it's really...
be.
It's really normal. I mean, your kids are 3 and 5. They're close in age. So that, you know, things that tend to peak rivalry are close in age,
okay,
same sex.
They're not, though. There's a boy and a girl.
It doesn't necessarily have to be so.
Okay.
But I'm just saying these are things that, you know, take what is already naturally going to be there anyway and potentially make it more so. Things that stress a child, and I'm not saying this about your children, but things that stress a child in terms of their feeling that they can get a bigger piece of the pie,
wow,
and that the way to do that is to make sure that the other one gets a smaller piece of the pie.
Right.
And so we could be talking about anything from stuff, you know, depending on, you know, materially what's going on in your family, to a particular friend, to parenting attention.
However, all
that being said, I got to tell you, rivalry is really, really normal. And instead of looking at it as, tell me the thing that will stop it.
These are the questions.
Yeah.
It was like, they fight over the toy. They fight over me. They fight over their dad. They fight over their friends.
You can't really, there is no thing to just be like, it is over and it will not happen anymore. But it is important, nonetheless, to do what you're doing, which is to try to figure out how to continually manage it, which is a bit of a process, and to not make them feel like they're horrible people for feeling competitive feelings, because, of course, you want them to take competitive feelings and do positive things with them in their life, right? So you don't want to tell them that competing is makes them, you know, some rotten person.
Right.
But you do want to tell them that words, physical things are unacceptable.
Okay.
Unacceptable. You will not tolerate it. There will be consequences.
Okay.
You do want to tell them that words hurt, and that words hurt can hurt as much as hitting somebody can hurt. And so there are certain words or ways of speaking to their sibling that you also will not tolerate, and there will be consequences for. And then, as you're bringing up, having some methods of containing that you've set up that continue through. So, for instance, if it's about the car, it is, you know, one gets a turn on the way there and one gets a turn on the way back, or whatever it may be that you've decided. Mm-hmm. But I would tell you this. You do want to have there be repercussions for things that are really not okay. Things like, you know, I hate you, whacking them, because actually studies really do show that sibling bullying actually has a long-term effect. It can long-term cause problems later with anxiety and depression and trust in relationships, and it may even have more of an effect than bullying at school.
Oh my God!
And that actually, if you think about it, kind of makes sense, right? Because you don't get away from your sibling, right? Your sibling is kind of there all the time.
Yeah.
And they're fighting for the commodity that matters the very most to you, your parents.
Yes.
So it is important to get in there, and even though it's exhausting, and you feel like you just want to, like, you know, like, tie them up and leave them somewhere.
Ugh.
You really, it's hard, but you have to know that what you're doing is pretty much what every parent is doing, but that the more that you have a repercussion for really negative behavior that you've already laid out ahead of time will be unacceptable, the more likely you are to extinguish that, and the more that you positively reinforce loving behaviors that are them containing their rivalry. So, for instance, I let my sibling have this, or I said, I'm sorry, no, I really love you, or whatever it is, even if it's much later and it seems not to be heartfelt,
okay.
Give them positive reinforcement. Oh, that I'm so proud of you that you shared that toy with your brother, that you said, I'm sorry I said that, whatever it is, and you have to, when they're that little, 3 and 5, you have to lead them, right? You have to give them the words.
Okay.
It wasn't okay that you said, you know, I hate you.
Got it.
Hate is a big, strong word. We don't use that word with people that we love. I want you to, whatever is going to be your form of discipline, you know, go in your room, think about it. It's 10 minutes in your room, and when, you know, and then an hour later, I want you to go say you're sorry to your brother, tell him that you love him, give a hug and make up. And now in the beginning, you're going to see them, they'll hug like, I hate you, but
yes,
I hug you.
Still, it's unbelievable.
But that's okay. That is okay. You are teaching them and modeling for them the behavior that you expect. And, you know, it's also important to let them know that, like, kids, of course, everybody has ambivalent feelings. Maybe ambivalent's a big word for 3 and 5, but everybody has mixed feelings. And that you can even say to them at times, you know, there are people that you have mixed feelings about. You love them, but you get mad at them.
Right.
Or you love them, but you wish you had the stuff they had. And, you know, but you don't do those things because in the long run, those really hurt them. At the end, we don't really want to hurt the people we love.
It is, so here's another question. What do you think of this idea of trying to let them, because then when I got to a point when I was like, the book is just gone, you know. Oh, the book, he's got the book, I want the book, and I'm like, all right, the book's gone, the book's away, now we're taking the book. And, you know, then this one parenting person that we were seeing was like, well, you're not allowing them to work it out. And I was like, I don't have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
I will be sitting there for a freaking eternity if it's like, if they're young, and she goes, we'll give them 3 choices, but it still takes forever. ever. Is yeah. it? Am I not allowing them? She's like, well, you're depriving them of the skills to figure these things out. And
God. You know, all of these things are a matter of moderation, right? And the reality is there are only so many, you know, hours in the day,
yes.
minutes in an hour. However, you do want to provide them. It's all, you know, everybody wants to tell you it's black and white, but I'm telling you, it's always gray. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so there'll be times when you just don't have the time and you are taking the book away. And I
Got
think
it.
That's
okay.
fine.
It is.
And there'll
all right.
be when you can afford some time, you do want to give them some opportunities, because that is where A, they're working it out and learning to use the skills, and you are providing some positive reinforcement to show them, yeah, like that was great. It was hard, but, you know, yes, that's what you're going to try to work toward going forward. And you have to do some of both, you know, because
okay.
if you grow them up in separate spaces entirely, then in the long run, they won't have the relationship that, there are probably few things more joyful than when your children really love each other and have each other, you know,
right.
like really having a good sibling relationship. It's kind of irreplaceable.
Here's what's odd about that, though. In the same breath, my daughter will, in the same day, right? She's like, I hate my brother. I wish it was just me. Then later that night, when we talk about, like, because now that gay marriage is legal, she's decided she wants a wedding because she wants to wear a dress. It's a whole thing.
Aww.
So, but then I'm like, well, I go, well, who are you going to marry, buddy? Because she's like, I'm going to have a wedding too. And I was like, well, who are you marrying? Phoenix. That's her brother. She
All
wants
right.
to marry her brother. So
sure.
I'm like, wait,
sure.
you just wanted to kill
right.
him 2 hours
normal,
ago.
Normal,
completely
normal.
She's bipolar.
Actually, one of the best things you could possibly teach her to some degree is that having those mixed feelings, like, I hate you and I love you, but I remember that, you know, love trumps those negative feelings overall, but it's okay to have
okay.
some negative feelings.
Okay.
That is one of the best things that you could possibly teach your children, because it runs through all relationships, right? I mean, you adore
yeah.
your children, right? You
yeah,
love
I
them
do.
To pieces. But
I do.
As you just pointed out, there are times when you feel
oh
like you
want
to, like, lock them in the car or lock them in the room. And that's not because you actually hate them. It's because you have ambivalent feelings that are completely normal. And the mothers who do the best, who manage emotionally the best with parenting, are the moms who can be conscious of those ambivalent feelings and accepting of them in themselves. So they don't have to be unbelievably guilt-ridden,
wow.
you know, and,
yeah.
and move forward with that, because it really is normal.
It is crazy. I mean, I have moments, literally, where I completely forgive both my parents. Because
yeah.
I'm like, wow, all right.
Oh, because of course, your children are their best revenge. They know
yeah.
that,
yes.
that I mean, you finally get it.
Yes, yes.
How, in a way that you can never get
no,
it otherwise.
That
right.
you can't. It's
yeah.
so true. And that, and you see yourself make, you know, mistakes, and you're just going, oh God, that wasn't my finest moment. You know, or you're impatient, or you just handled it the wrong way. And it's like, you realize that your own humanity, it
right.
gets in the way sometimes,
right.
which brings me to kind of this, sorry, if you have time, I'd love to ask
yeah.
you one more question.
Yeah.
And I really grew up in this, and I find that a lot of people emulate the certain aspects of their childhood, some for better and some for worse, right? And we
mm-hmm.
kind of pass these patterns down.
Mm-hmm.
And in my household, my father was very much this kind of like, you're fine guy. You know, the stiff upper lip, you'll be fine, suck it up, pull it together.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, you know, I'm like, well, I am fine. I am okay.
Yeah.
I do suck it up. I move forward. And then when I don't see that kind of behavior, the a-hole in me, it, you know, it gets like this thing with my kids where I'm like, ugh, all right, stop the whining. And I don't say that, but I feel it inside.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so this woman was suggesting to us that me, not Heidi, do this reflective, because Heidi is overly reflective, I think, this reflective parenting with my son, where when he gets I hate to use the word, but he's whining about nothing. I mean, it's just, it could be anything. It's like, I wanted the blue fork. I'm like, buddy, you picked that fork. I didn't even pick it. I don't want it. And, you know, the first thing I want to do is be like, listen, dude, we're not doing this right now. Go in your room, whatever you're dealing with, pound it out. Get it out of your system and come on out. And she, you know, this woman was like, no, you need to reflect what he's feeling. And you're not, you know, you're being selfish. And I literally was like, are you serious? Like, you want me to indulge this tantrum? Mm. And she's like, it's not that you're indulging him. It's that you're showing him you understand him so he doesn't feel alone in the world. And, of course, I do feel alone in the world. So I was like, maybe this isn't working.
So
what do I do? Is this a good idea? This whole, like, I get that you're upset about the fork, which, by the way, seems absurd to me.
Well, absurd. You know, because really what she's saying, and to some degree you're also saying, is, you know what he's really upset about isn't really the fork.
What is it?
Right? So, you know, people have moments of just feeling frustrated or sad or, you know, overcome. And sometimes it really is about something quite specific. And sometimes it just is. And little kids haven't figured out yet how to self-soothe, right? How to, like, you're just having, you know, you have your crummy day, and what do? Maybe you, you know, you get on the treadmill, you lie down with the equivalent of your blankie and just, you know, chill out, listen to some music, whatever you do to self-soothe. Kids have to learn their own, need some coping skills, right? And they, when they're young, they just don't really have them.
No.
And so they can feel very alone when their feeling states overwhelm them. And one tool, let's say, is to some degree feel comforted by you because you get it. And it's not because you stood there and discussed the fork ad nauseum, because that is not it. It could really be literally the one sentence that simply reflects, like, hey, I see you're really upset.
Okay.
Boom. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be like a long, I see you're really upset. I don't know if you know what's upsetting you really. You know, if you do, I'd love to understand it. But either way, I get it that you feel upset. What can we do to try to help you feel, whatever words you want to use, calmer, less whiny, you know,
I try not to
angry.
I say cranky around.
Cranky.
Like, I'm like, you seem super cranky, dude.
You're feeling really, something is bothering you that makes you feel really cranky, and you're acting really cranky. What can we do to help you feel less cranky? Would it, you know, and then it might be like, look, if you can't stop, and because it's, let's say, cranky turns out to be like, I'm whacking you, then you would have to go in your room for that one.
Right.
If cranky turns out to be, I just feel like lying here and crying, you know, that should be okay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't make your children be happy all the time, and you don't actually even really want to teach them that that's some kind of goal, because humans can't be happy all the time. You're not happy all the time, right?
No.
And if someone were saying to you, like, what up? Stop it and be happy. You would feel like, boy, you really don't get it. And, you know, you're really making me feel bad for feeling bad, which only makes me feel worse. So there's a certain amount. I agree with you that every single little tantrum can't be a therapy session, let's say.
That was my concern, is that I'm like, I'm never forcing him to kind of, like, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm like, if we indulge every single, I have a hangnail.
There are moments when you do have to say some form of suck it up. I'll give you an example. That includes your sibling rivalry. It's your other child's birthday.
Okay.
And the one who feels like not happy that it's not their birthday and it's not their birthday cake and it's not their toys and blah, 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 is ruining the party because they're
all this
screaming and crying, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so is an instant where you go and you say, I know this is hard for you because it's not your birthday party, but it is your brother's or sister's birthday party, and you need to quit it now. You know, some form of, you really need to suck it up right now, and we'll talk about it later. That's a situation where, you know, you don't want to give them power in the moment to control important things, because that is positive feedback that they don't need. But you can always help them understand that you get some, that the feeling that they're feeling is a real feeling, you're not telling them they're a crummy person for feeling it.
Right.
You're saying, like, okay, people have crummy feelings. You know, let's try to come up with something that makes you feel a little less that way. Or maybe you just have to cry for a little bit. People feel sad sometimes. That's okay.
Got it.
Yeah. If you have to feel that way, you know, I don't know if it's really about the fork, but if you want to cry about the fork, that's okay. But
okay.
Keep it down.
I know I'm like, Jillian, and I try to fight that, you know, that part of myself, but on the other hand, which is such a bummer, that whole kind of like, suck it up. But, you know, it's worked for me on one hand because I've been so successful. But on the other hand, it has made me feel alone, very alone
right.
at times.
Right. So, you know what? When that moment is happening, that is like your kid's crying about his fork.
Yeah.
And you're starting to feel that familiar well up of like, oh, my God, suck it up. Like,
yeah.
you know, you have that moment in your head and your brain is screaming, suck it up.
Yes.
That should be your, like, little red flag that says, what about this? Like, what if it were me? That's really what you're empathizing. Like, what if it were me and whatever's the equivalent of the fork, you know, maybe it's the job you wanted or the, you know, who knows, the outfit you wanted, whatever it was, and no one got it. Would you feel like alone if you were feeling as sad as your kid looks at the moment?
Yeah.
And that may help you to just feel able to say the sentence, you know, like, I get it. You're feeling upset. And I'm sorry that you're feeling upset, you know.
Yeah.
But this one isn't such a big deal. I'm sorry that it's really bothering you.
Got it.
But, you know,
okay.
But then maybe you say, you know, we still have to eat dinner. If you really feel unable to eat dinner now because you're that upset, you can go in your room and take a 5-minute break and then come back and eat dinner.
Okay.
You know, in other words, you don't want it to be an out for like, oh, no dinner, just dessert for you or something.
Got
that
it.
Is
right. You
a
can't
reward.
Let them off the hook.
But
so it's like
the
acknowledging
one sentence,
the feelings.
You'd be surprised. What a big difference, just the one. Now, if your partner is like, let's forget dinner, have an ice cream cone, and so on, that also isn't so great, and that's not reflective parenting.
Okay.
That's rewarding negative behavior. So reflective parenting simply means understanding and acknowledging the feeling that is driving the current behavior, acknowledging to the child the feeling that is driving that current behavior.
But not allowing them to get away with something that's destructive for
correct.
Themselves or their sibling.
Correct. Helping them understand, like, maybe you did that because you felt angry about whatever, but at the end of the day, you can't hit. You can talk to me about anger. You can use your words. Tell me, use your words, but no hitting.
Got it. Dr. Saltz, thank you so much. You, as always, your advice is invaluable. And I just want to remind people, first of all, they can go to your site, though, drgailsaltz.com. I mean, I'm on it right now. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And it has all the articles you've written. And what book, you've written a ton of books. Which one would you recommend maybe to help? Is there one that you've written about this kind of stuff, like discipline?
Well, you know what? I haven't written, actually, like a discipline, a parenting sort of thing.
just a suggestion.
So the kids book, really, I have two parenting books that are to talk with your kids about their bodies and the birds and the bees and changes that are going to happen to them. And those are actually remarkably popular. Lots of my extended family is thoroughly annoyed with me that their kids have decided it's their favorite bedtime book. And they're like, do I have to read this one again?
I know that feeling.
Embarrassing.
But, I love it.
But yeah, but that would be the parenting book.
Dr. Saltz, thank you. And also check out howwefamily.com as well, which is a national study that Dr. Saltz is doing with Tylenol on what it means to be a modern-day family, which is kind of cool with that now all the with the LGBT community.
Exactly. About time, right? But
it's, wow,
but
dude,
better,
awesome.
Better late than never.
It's a whole new. Maybe we should do, if I can beg, look, I'm already roping her into another segment. But maybe in the future we could do one on that, because it's a new frontier. It really is.
It is.
I mean, even when you go to sign the frickin' admission form for camp, it's like, yep, mother, father. I'm like, yep, could we please just say maybe parent one and parent two?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
trippy. It's so, anyway, Dr.
We're
Schultz,
having a, we're slowly, ever so slowly making changes, but we certainly have a ways to go.
Yeah, we do. But you're right. I'm glad for the progress. So you're amazing, and I can't thank you enough.
And just remember, all this stuff, you know, it's you're not alone.
Unfortunately, actually, misery loves company. You're absolutely right. I know the listeners specifically were like, ask her about this. So anyway, I had my selfish reasons as well. But you are wonderful. We will let you
Thank
go.
You.
I've kept you for a freaking half an hour. I'm so sorry.
No. My pleasure.
Please have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I love her. It's like a therapy session. I feel bad. But honestly, Autumn, when I did put this out there, I mean, that was like one of the number one questions. Dude, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's next level. He's looking at me. She's touching me. He's breathing on me. Wu touched me. I mean, Lou can walk by him, and if her fingertip grazes his shirt, she hit me. And she tries to get him in trouble. Then she'll antagonize. Then she'll purposely antagonize him. It's next level, dude. It's next level.
I was thinking about it while you were talking about that, especially with the car.
Oh, my
God.
My
brother and
the
I.
The car.
Poor Claire. We used to have kick fights in the back seat, and she was like, finally one day, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just beat the shit out of each other. She was, poor
I've
thing.
I've been there.
So
I've
angry.
I've been there. I have. I said, then hit him back. I've said, he hit me. She hit me. I'm like, you know what? You know what? I don't want to hear it anymore. Hit him back. Like, you get to the point where you're just like, you've had it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ours was next level. Like, it finally stopped when my mom had to throw us outside in the snow because we were fighting so bad. I mean, we're talking, my sister stabbed me. I knocked her out. There were so many emergency room visits.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Stabbed you?
Yeah, I still have the scar on my hand right here.
Oh, my God, that is a scar.
Yeah. Like,
Animals.
We're talking a knife in my hand.
I don't think I can do it.
Oh, God.
I'm getting further and further away from feeling confident in this parenting thing. So.
One kid, dude. One kid. That's the lesson. All right. Well, for those of you that have two, you're screwed like me. Good luck.
Sorry, guys.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.